Besant confronts perfect storm at G20 summit as bond markets wobble. Scott Besant arrives in Asheville, North Carolina, this week carrying more contradictions than any U.S. Treasury secretary in recent memory, pressing G20 partners to shrink trade imbalances while presiding over a $40 trillion national debt, demanding Iran sanctions compliance while taxing allies with new tariffs, and trying to calm bond markets he helped unsettle. The G20 finance ministers and central bank governors meeting on Monday and Tuesday, August 31 through September 1, 2026, in Asheville marks the first time the United States has actively sought to lead the G20 process after shunning last year's gathering in South Africa. The setting is deliberate. Besant wants to reframe the forum around the Trump administration's economic worldview, specifically the reduction of global trade imbalances that a senior Treasury official described as products of distortive government policies that prevent fair competition. The agenda arrives against a backdrop of closed oil shipping lanes, escalating tariff architecture, and a U.S. fiscal position that markets are no longer willing to ignore quietly. Total U.S. public debt crossed $40 trillion on August 19, 2026, after doubling across Trump's two terms and the Biden presidency combined. Yields on 30-year treasuries reached their highest level in 19 years this month. Besant responded by announcing a doubling of scheduled buybacks of longer-dated treasuries to $4 billion per operation, a move that cooled yields briefly before drawing criticism from Besant's former Wall Street mentor. The source text indicates the mentor's name was cut off at publication, so attribution is incomplete. What is not incomplete? The signal that even the secretary's closest professional relationships are straining under the weight of this fiscal trajectory. Josh Lipsky, International Economics Chair at the Atlantic Council, identified the central tension precisely. Secretary Besant will want to put Iran front and center and talk about tightening sanctions on Iran, and many countries around the G20 table will want to talk about anything else. They'll want to talk about tariffs. The gap between what Washington wants to discuss and what its counterparts will actually raise is not merely procedural. It reflects a structural fracture in the post-2022 multilateral order, one that Asheville will expose but almost certainly not resolve. The Iran war's economic footprint is larger than the headlines suggest 6 months after the U.S. and Israel launched military operations against Iran beginning February 28, 2026. The catastrophic recession scenario that economists feared has not materialized, but the cumulative cost is substantial and still accumulating. The Strait of Hormuz, through which a significant share of global oil transits, has been slowed to a crawl since the conflict began. Brent crude climbed from a pre-war close of approximately $72 a barrel to a peak of nearly $120, and while prices have since eased, they remain approximately 20% above pre-war levels. That 67% peak surge and the sustained 20% residual premium have compounded through supply chains in ways that consumer-facing data is only beginning to capture. Jet fuel is projected to cost, on average, 70% more in 2026 than in 2025, according to the International Air Transport Association. Lufthansa Group cut 20,000 short-haul flights. Spirit Airlines ceased operations entirely. Brett House, a Columbia University economist, stated that the likelihood of fuel surcharges being rolled back and airfares being reduced is very low over the near term, and that reduced airline competition removes pressure to contain fare increases. Key data point. Brent crude remains approximately 20% above pre-war levels 6 months into the Iran conflict, with jet fuel costs projected at 70% above 2025 averages. The Strait of Hormuz closure has yet to fully reopen. The International Monetary Fund, in a July 2026 report, characterized the global economy as being shaped by two major forces pushing in opposite directions. War-driven growth strain offset by artificial intelligence-related investment enthusiasm. The IMF also estimates China's yuan is undervalued by 21%, a figure Bessent's team will deploy in Asheville to argue for structural rebalancing. Our view: the 20% sustained oil premium functions as a regressive global tax, hitting emerging market G20 members, specifically those without domestic hydrocarbon production, disproportionately harder than the advanced economies where equity market recovery has been concentrated. That asymmetry will complicate Bessent's sanctions enforcement push. Countries absorbing outsized fuel inflation have limited political appetite to cut off discounted Iranian crude. Tariff architecture is rebuilding after the Supreme Court dismantled it, after the Supreme Court struck down Trump's broad global tariffs in February 2026 under a national emergencies law. The administration has been reconstructing the tariff system under different legal authorities. The rebuilding is already substantial. All G20 members and the European Union were among 60 economies that received 10% or 12.5% U.S. tariffs in July 2026 for allegedly lax enforcement of forced labor prohibitions. A separate trade probe targets 16 of the United States' top trading partners for alleged excess industrial capacity, and more than half of those 16 are G20 members. A trade war with Canada, a close ally, remains unresolved as of the Asheville meeting. The implication: Bessent is asking the same governments he is actively penalizing with tariffs to coordinate with him on Iran's sanctions enforcement and trade imbalance reduction. That is not an impossible ask, but it requires leverage, credibility, and reciprocity that the current posture does not clearly offer. The European dimension adds further complexity. European officials attending Asheville are focused on the surge of Chinese exports into their markets, particularly electric vehicles and semiconductors, accelerated by Chinese producers redirecting shipments away from the U.S. market following American tariff escalation. China's total exports rose 23.9% year-on-year in July 2026. Beijing has shown little interest in calls to reduce industrial subsidies or rebalance toward domestic consumption and high U.S. tariffs on Chinese vehicles have effectively redirected that export volume toward Europe. Equity markets have decoupled from consumer reality, but the gap has limits the equity market recovery since the late March 2026 bottom has been striking. The Dow has gained nearly 19% from that trough, the S&P 500 is up approximately 22%, and the NASDAQ has surged approximately 27%. If those gains hold through year-end, all three indexes would record their fourth consecutive annual gain. Michael Ashley Shulman, an investment strategist with Cerity Partners, described the situation as the global economy pulling off the financial equivalent of a Mission Impossible scene. The metaphor is apt and also instructive. Mission Impossible scenes work until they don't. Wall Street's resilience reflects AI investment momentum absorbing the war-driven drag. Main Street, measured by fuel, food, and travel costs, is experiencing the conflict differently. EV adoption has accelerated in markets insulated from Chinese vehicle competition. Year-over-year EV growth reached 110% in Singapore and 180% in New Zealand in 2026. Clean power assets are benefiting structurally from elevated fuel prices, a second-order consequence of the Hormuz closure that energy equity investors have already priced. Risk flag: 30-year Treasury yields at 19-year highs signal that bond markets are demanding a fiscal premium the equity market has not yet fully priced. The $4 billion buyback doubling provided only brief relief. If yields resume climbing, the equity-bond divergence becomes a systemic risk rather than a sector rotation. Iran sanctions compliance: Bessent's enforcement hand is stronger than it looks on Friday, August 29, 2026, Bessent imposed sanctions on an Egyptian bank over Iran-linked transactions conducted through its UAE branches. The timing, one business day before the G20 meeting, is not coincidental. It is a demonstration of enforcement intent directed at G20 members. The secondary sanctions threat is the sharper instrument. Bessent has warned that countries face secondary U.S. sanctions if they continue purchasing Iranian oil or facilitating transactions with Tehran. For emerging market G20 members with dollar-denominated debt and trade flows, secondary sanctions exposure represents a genuine constraint, even if the political messaging at Asheville runs in the opposite direction. The structural leverage is real. Countries that depend on dollar clearing networks, U.S. export finance, or access to American capital markets face asymmetric exposure to secondary sanctions. The Egyptian bank action is a proof of concept, not an isolated event. Investment positioning: what institutional capital should track for private equity and institutional investors? The Asheville meeting itself is less important than what it signals about the trajectory of three interconnected macro variables: U.S. fiscal credibility, energy price normalization, and tariff escalation risk. The $40 trillion debt threshold crossed on August 19, combined with 19-year high 30-year yields, establishes a new floor for sovereign risk premium in U.S. Duration. Treasury buybacks at $4 billion per operation provide tactical support, but do not address the structural deficit dynamic that economists have flagged as the missing variable in Bessent's trade imbalance argument. For energy-exposed portfolios, the 20% sustained Brent premium and 70% jet fuel cost increase create durable margin pressure for aviation and logistics, while simultaneously compressing the payback period on clean energy and EV infrastructure investments in markets open to non-Chinese supply chains. The tariff reconstruction under new legal authorities is the variable most likely to move in the next 90 days. With 16 top trading partners under investigation for excess industrial capacity, the next escalation round will determine whether the current 10% to 12.5% base tariff level is a ceiling or a floor. The Plaquemium view the market is reading Bessent's Asheville agenda as a diplomatic stress test. Plaquemium reads it as the first public articulation of a doctrine with three pillars: fiscal dominance management through supply-side debt operations, sanctions as geopolitical leverage replacing tariff as leverage, where the Supreme Court has constrained executive authority, and trade imbalance reduction as the unifying frame for both. The original thesis here is structural. The Supreme Court's February 2026 tariff ruling did not weaken the Trump administration's trade posture. It forced a legal diversification of coercive instruments that, in aggregate, may be harder for trading partners to challenge in court or at the WTO. Sanctions authority, forced labor tariff statutes, and industrial capacity probes each rest on different legal foundations than the national emergencies authority the court struck down. The result is a more durable, if more complex, trade enforcement architecture. The second-order play for institutional capital is in the bond market, not equities. If Bessent's buyback program fails to anchor long-end yields and the 30-year approaches levels not seen since the early 2000s, the repricing of duration risk will cascade into credit spreads, private credit valuations, and leveraged buyout modeling across every private equity portfolio with floating rate exposure. The equity market's 22% recovery from its March trough is built partly on rate assumptions that are no longer stable. That is the risk the Asheville FODO opportunity will not resolve. The bottom line: Bessent enters Asheville with leverage and liabilities in roughly equal measure. The sanctions enforcement action against Egypt's bank one day before the meeting demonstrates operational willingness to act. The $40 trillion debt crossing and 19-year high long yields demonstrate that the fiscal credibility argument his G20 counterparts will raise is not without merit. For institutional investors, the actionable read is this. The Iran war's economic effects are 20% oil premium and 70% jet fuel cost increases that are not going away in the near term. The tariff architecture is rebuilding on legally diversified ground that is harder to strike down, and U.S. long-end yields at 19-year highs are the number that will determine whether 2026's equity recovery survives the year. Watch the 30-year, not the communique.